Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, February 6, 2017. With me today, I have John Martellaro. I hope you're doing well.
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. And Dave Hamilton, how goes it for you?
It goes. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And I'm really glad to have both of you here. I'm also glad that Blue Apron is our sponsor today. And we'll be talking about how they can fill your stomachs. But before we talk about food, I think we need to talk about FaceTime and lawsuits and class action lawsuits, to be specific. So the background on this story is that there's been a class action lawsuit filed against Apple alleging that Apple intentionally broke FaceTime in iOS 6 to force people to upgrade to iOS 7. And then, of course, the side story to go along with that is that people are upset because their iPhone 4 and 4S models just really didn't handle iOS 7 all that well, and so that they were just generally unhappy. And the information for this lawsuit comes out of documents that were part of the Vernetics patent infringement lawsuit against Apple, which by no coincidence at all also involve FaceTime, specifically the protocols that Apple used to initiate calls between FaceTime users. And so what happened was when Apple had to stop relying on Vernetics, or the technology that Vernetics had patented, they switched to relying on the relay connection system that they were contracting through Akamai for, and that had always been an option, but not the primary option. And so Apple was paying millions of dollars to Akamai for making all the FaceTime connections happen. And at some point, Apple created their own system that worked around the Vernetics patents and greatly reduce their reliance on Akamai's technology. And as all of this was happening, the ability for people running iOS 6 to be able to connect to FaceTime broke. And so the lawsuit alleges that breaking process was intentional.
Yeah, but it was intentional because Apple had to deal with the patent, not because Apple was being malicious.
Yeah, well, they like to think Apple was being malicious. And
that's hard to prove. That is really hard to prove.
Well, they cite some email conversations that were in evidence for the Vernetics case. And in one of the emails, someone actually says, "We broke iOS 6. And to get FaceTime to work, people have to upgrade to iOS 7. Now, the implication...
That's bad.
Well, the implication is very bad
that
Apple intentionally broke iOS 6.
Well, now, wait a minute. When you say we broke, that was a statement of technical effect and not a statement of malicious intent.
With my programmer hat on, I've made that statement. Not that we broke iOS 6, because thankfully, in this instance, thankfully, I'm not a programmer on iOS 6. But I have certainly made that statement many times, like, hey, remember all that cool stuff we did? Well, it broke that. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to go fix that. It's just, like John said, it's a statement of fact, or perhaps of realization. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, crap, we broke that. In this case, oh, crap, we broke iOS 6. Now, they didn't break all of iOS 6. They just broke FaceTime in iOS 6. But still, I get why an email as an island could exist that says this, that doesn't really, when looked at in context, indicate any bad intent or any foul play whatsoever.
Exactly.
You know, another thing that bothers me about this a little bit, I don't have a legal mind, but it just startled me that somebody would be so upset about iOS 6 when we're using iOS 10. This was years ago. It's sort of like somebody saying, well, Ford Motor Company messed up the battery on my 1954 Buick, and I'm going to sue them. And I, it's water under the bridge, isn't it? I mean, am I off base here?
Well, John, keep in mind, we live in a culture that is litigation happy. And so anytime people can come up with a way to create a lawsuit, they kind of like to do it.
Yeah, but I would say that if iOS 6 were a viable operating system, it isn't. It's not signed by Apple anymore. I mean, iOS 9, iOS 10.2 or 10.1, iOS 10.1 isn't even signed by Apple anymore. So you couldn't install iOS 6 if you wanted to and go back to those glory days. So there seems to be, I would think, some sort of legal angle here that says you can't use this product anymore. Your injury is long past. Statute of limitations must be over. I mean, please.
Well, I think that's the thing is I don't think the statute of limitations is over just because something else has happened that negates future similar damages or future incarnations of the same damages doesn't mean that the fact that these damages happened in the past, if in fact you can prove that they happened.
If you were injured in the past, right. Yeah, okay.
then it's still relevant.
Like if TV, right?
Yeah, if you had to buy, if you had a 4S or whatever it was and upgrade and had to upgrade because of this or chose to upgrade because you were limited in this capacity, then you could. That's considered a damage. If this was the only reason you upgraded and Apple intentionally did this or even unintentionally did this, and you know, then maybe. Yeah.
Well, I watch suits a lot on TV, and if it were up to me, I would say you have to show how you were damaged by iOS 7 because the upgrade was free. And did you suffer any monetary damage?
That's where the poor performance on the iPhone comes in. That's the damage. Now,
so you this piece of hardware that was rendered less useful by a forced software upgrade.
Right. So we do have the
by
email.
By virtue of a patent responsibility, though.
That's your problem, not me as the customer.
Right.
And I'm putting you in the role of you know, Apple.
Well, no, wait a minute. If I buy a 1989 Honda Civic and take it to the racetrack and complain that I lost, isn't that my problem?
No, if you bought a Honda Civic in 1989, right, and bought it then, or even bought it in 1990 or 1991, and it did everything you needed it to do, and then you were forced to bring it into the dealership, and they removed the rear brakes from that vehicle, and then sent you on your merry way, and then you got into an accident because you didn't have the same stopping power that you did previously. Then you could complain. This is prima facie defense. This is on the surface what people are saying. Like, yeah, no, yeah, I had this point. Thing.
Yeah.
It worked perfectly for me. It worked the same on the racetrack that it did on day one until you forced me to change it. And that's what's happening here is it, and it's true, right? I mean, software upgrades, Apple, like you said, they don't sign the old ones anymore. You can hang out for a while on an old version of iOS if you don't ever refresh your phone. But as soon as you do, then you have to go to the current version of iOS, and Apple is able to keep developers happy because everybody's on the same version of iOS and all of that great stuff. And of course, Apple does sign older versions for older devices, but that's a very different thing. If your device is certified by Apple, not by you, but by Apple for use with, say, iOS 7, then your device shall run iOS 7 if you were to reformat it and start from scratch, nothing prior. And that's where people's complaint comes in.
All right, so there are two other things that I want to point out in this. John, to get back to something you were asking earlier, I think that this lawsuit was created by lawyers who then went looking for plaintiffs that they could include in the case. Because without plaintiffs, you can't actually do anything. And and then the other part is that Apple did release iOS 6.1.6. And what I'm going to do is leave that as a teaser because we have to talk about our sponsor. And our sponsor is Blue Apron. And Blue Apron is a company that that I've been getting kind of excited about, because what they do is go out and find all the best fresh ingredients they can, and then figure out how to make really cool recipes out of all of that stuff. And then what they do with all of that is ship those fresh ingredients to you along with the recipe, so you can make it yourself and have a fresh dinner that tastes really good. And I love the idea of getting to have meals sent to me that are recipes that I wouldn't have thought of otherwise, because it's really easy to fall into that rut where you're just making the same three or four things all the time. And it's nice to mix that up and not have to spend the money you would spend at a restaurant to make that happen. So what you can do is sign up for these meal packages that they have, and Blue Apron is charging less than $10 per person per meal, and it's a great affordable way to try some really cool stuff. One of the things that that they have coming up in one of their meal packs is udon noodle soup with miso and soft boiled eggs. Now, prior to seeing this, I would not have considered making udon noodle soup with miso myself, because there are all kinds of places around Boulder where I can just go and get that. But having the opportunity to make it at home is actually kind of cool. And so they've made it really easy to do. So the way this works is you sign up for one of their meal programs, and then they deliver a box to your door, and it has all the ingredients that you need, and it's all high quality stuff. And then you just pull everything out and start making food, and it's all fresh and it tastes really great. And you guys can save money, because they are doing a special deal just for Daily Observations listeners. What you need to do is go to blueapron.com/TDO, blueapron.com/TDO. And the first three meals off your order are going to be free. Also, you don't pay shipping. So you get to save some money off that order. You get to try out some cool new meals and expand your palate, and then keep the recipes, because if you want to make them again later, now you know what you need to get at the store to make that happen. So that URL is blueapron.com/TDO. Head over there, get your order with your first three meals for free and free shipping. Thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor. Okay, so I said iOS 6.1.6 and kind of left you guys hanging. iOS 6.1.6 is the version of iOS that fixes the FaceTime connection problem that was otherwise forcing people to upgrade to iOS 7. So my feeling is, if Apple were to force everyone to go to iOS 7 by breaking iOS 6, why would they fix the problem? Why not just leave it broken so people have to upgrade?
Well, that's interesting.
Good point.
So I have a question.
Okay.
What was the, it looks like the date of iOS 6.1.6 was, the release date was February 21st, 2014. Do we know what version of iOS 6, what build of iOS 6 broke this for people? How long did they quote unquote suffer? And was that long enough to drive them into buying a new phone anyway? Right. I mean, I think even if we can't answer that question here, but if you know, I can probably find the release date.
I know off the top of my head that the date that FaceTime broke was April 24th, but I don't know what year.
Okay, so it stands to reason that this could have gone on for quite some time, because I mean, iOS 6 was released to the public on September 19th, 2012, right? So, but even if it was, well, it would have had to have been, therefore, it would have had to have been April of 2013, because it couldn't have happened in April of 2012.
Wait, okay.
This problem, right?
So actually, I've got the date wrong completely. It's April 16th, 2014. That's when FaceTime broke, April 16th, 2014.
And yet, Apple fixed this with 6.1.6, which I'm seeing as of February 21st, 2014.
So
clearly that, our information is confused on something.
I don't think our information is confused. I think that right now what we're trying to do is wrap our heads around why someone would file a class action lawsuit saying that Apple intentionally broke something to force an upgrade when they had a fix out in time for well in advance of the failure that was going to happen.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. So this failure would have happened in April of 2014, were it not for the fact that Apple came around and updated iOS 6.16 or updated iOS with 6.1.6 ahead of that. Yeah, this sounds like I mentioned the concept of a prima facie defense before, right? When you file a lawsuit against, a company or someone, you can, but not always, ask to have it heard at summary judgment, right? Which mm-hmm. is where both sides basically just say, here's the things we are going to prove. You don't have to prove them. You just have to say, here's the things we are going to prove. And if those things can be proven and they are at odds with each other, then the lawsuit continues, right? Mm-hmm. If those things are at odds with each other, it's up to the actual lawsuit to prove or not those things. And so you've got these two sets of facts that are conflicting. Okay, got to dig in. Great. But this seems like it might be thrown out at summary judgment when you present like this problem would have existed if we didn't update the software and we did that in February. So yes, they are right, but good news, we found it too, and fixed it ahead of time.
Ahead of time. Also,
that might be enough to get it thrown out. I'm no lawyer though. So, what do I know?
I'll go ahead and toss out a little bit more that Apple can use in their defense, and my bill's in the mail, Apple. There was also an update that Apple had to release to iOS 7 to fix FaceTime as well. So if you're forcing people to update to iOS 7 to fix a problem with FaceTime, and that same problem exists in iOS 7, that doesn't seem like much incentive for people to jump to a new version of the operating system.
Well, now that's very nuanced, isn't it, Jeff?
I know.
That's the kind of thing, though, that I don't think would work at summary judgment. Like, you'd have to go and try the case and bring that up and say, can we get a little bit of sentiment on this? Maybe somebody will side with us. Like, that's, I don't know. It seems like that would be something to discuss, though.
I'm thinking so. So, yeah. Anyhow,
is it a rash assumption to conclude that all things wrong with some version will be fixed in version plus one?
Well, see, that's the thing. It wasn't wrong with the previous version. It was just because this contract was ending, it was going to be wrong in the future. And it, based on what we're seeing here, we could be missing something. It seems like they fixed it before anybody was actually affected. Any customers were actually affected. I'm sure beta users internal to Apple and otherwise were affected. But
when you're a beta user, you should expect to have problems. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm running.
That's the point.
Yeah, I'm running iOS 10.3 beta, developer beta, on my iPhone 7 right now, and I have to periodically reboot my iPhone to have reliable network communication. It's not a problem I had prior to this beta update, but it's a beta. I'm not upset. I'm not complaining. It's just one of those things that I expect and accept because I'm willing to run beta software.
Right. And it's one of the reasons that some companies choose not to let members of the press beta test their stuff, because they don't want members of the press who are going to write publicly about their things or speak publicly about their things to experience them with known problems.
Sure. And that totally makes sense. And
totally does.
And that's the reason why I haven't written any articles about the problem that I'm experiencing, because it's a beta thing. And the only reason I brought it up here was just to help validate the point you were making, Dave.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, this will be fun to see how this sorts out.
Yeah.
If in fact we even get to see how it sorts out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching this one play out, because it sure looks to me like a case that needs to be dropped before it actually goes to trial. But I will keep an open mind, because if someone produces evidence that's very damning for Apple, well, then let's get this lawsuit rolling and we'll watch what happens then. And with that, we're out of time. So we have to wrap up. John, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And Dave, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. Fun stuff.
Yeah, very fun. And Blue Apron, thank you for being our sponsor. Listeners, head over to the Blue Apron website, blueapron.com/TDO, and place your order. Get 3 meals off that first order for free, plus free shipping. It's good food. You're going to like it. And listeners, thank you so much for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.